You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Shea Pataja, and I'm here for the stats and laughs.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
All righty, welcome aboard WTCM News Talk 580 with New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design, and we have a crowd in the studio today. We'll start off by introducing Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
It's great to be here, Ron. Thank you. Good morning on Thursday, May 26, 2022, and joining us today is Heidi Cartwright.
Good morning. It's good to be here today.
Good to get the last name right, too. Think about it.
Shea Pataja, there in the chair over
I'm
there.
I'm in the back section. Yeah, it's nice, though. These are very comfortable.
Yeah, nice. Awesome.
Very cozy.
Good. And joining us, too, Nathan Prout. Nathan.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Is this your first time here?
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah. How about that? Yeah. Same last name? Coincidence or?
Coincidence, no.
You know, I've been called his nephew, but I'm actually his youngest son.
The youngest? Wow, the youngest.
Yeah. It's great to have him on here with us. We thought this was a great time to have him join us because Nathan attended the Ed Slatt course with us that we took back in mid-May, the 12th and the 13th, I think it was, where we learned a lot more about IRAs than what we already knew,
right.
Thought we knew. You know, it's funny. I my pre-thinking on these things was, well, I wonder if they'll have anything to talk about. And that was like the dumbest thought ever as we get involved in this thing. It's just like 2.5 days of intensity because of the new SECURE Act and the new rules and regs and designated beneficiaries and all the rest. We're going to talk about this morning about why and how IRAs are different. And Heidi is also going to be talking about how to set up or the issues that can arise as a result of setting up an inherited IRA incorrectly. So we want to check that out.
Yep.
Lots to learn here this morning. And so we're gonna discuss the subject, but before we get going, it was amazing to be a part of this thing, and it's been probably 2.5 years or so since we've actually attended one of these. We've done the Zoom meeting, you know, blah,
just not
blah,
the
blah,
same
stuff.
Just not the same.
Not the same at all. It's just everyone was Twitter-pated. You could tell, man, they were enthusiastic being a part of this. Because
where was it?
It was in Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. So the home of barbecue.
Yes.
Barbecue. Yes. I keep thinking beef, but it's not quite that simple. It's barbecue. And just to hear the back and forth, the questions behind you. Some guy raises his hand, you know, what about this? You know, he's all up in arms. Not really that up in arms, but he was enthusiastic about it. So Ed was really geeked, and so were all the rest of the staff there. It's just great to see everybody and have that interaction, and we need that. And it's amazing how much more energy and learning goes on when you're getting these questions, you know, what, how does this work, what's that look like, why is that important, whatever it might be. It's an enhancement of the learning process, so we're really appreciative we were able to all go along.
And you bring that knowledge back to Northern Michigan.
We do our best with that, you bet. And it's good to review this. So IRAs are different. We're going to dive right into this. And IRAs are called the black hole of estate planning. IRAs are different than all other assets. IRAs are distributed differently than all other assets, both during life and after death. They, first of all, pass by contract. Generally, not by a will. So you can say, well, you know, the will's going to take care of that. No, it's not. No. Your beneficiary form takes care of that. Who's the primary or first beneficiary? Number one. Number two, if something happens to you both, who is the contingent beneficiary? And so it's not going to pass by the will or your trust. Well, we had a trust written. Won't that take care of it? No. It's going to, first of all, depend on what your IRA says. What does the document say?
And when you're filling out an application for an IRA, that beneficiary designation is embedded in that application. So it'll be part of that application as you're filling out your name and all your personal information. There's usually a section there where you designate the beneficiary. So it's right in the application.
And this is the kind of conversation that people will have. Well, you know, we'll get into this with Heidi as well, but, you know, we've named our one son the beneficiary. We'll talk about the negatives of doing that if there's more than one child in the marriage. And then the other part of this is, it's not just the IRAs that pass by beneficiaries, it's annuities, life insurance contracts as well. So there tends to be a lot of types of retirement accounts, and including 401ks and 403bs. These all pass by beneficiary. And if they're not properly named, then all of a sudden you could be involved in a probate proceeding to try to determine who those beneficiaries are.
Who pays for that, by the way? If you have to go to probate, if there are costs associated with that?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Someone has to, like, do the beneficiaries pay, or there aren't any beneficiaries. Does the estate pay?
The estate, in essence, has to pay for the cost of that before the beneficiaries, or before the inheritors, if you will, receive the proceeds of the estate. So IRAs have their own set of complex distribution rules both during life and after death, and these have been changed by the SECURE Act. It's much narrower what it is in the process of distributing this, how quickly these have to come out. In most cases, these distributions, if it is a non-spouse beneficiary, they have to come out over a 10-year period. So that the time has really been compressed in terms of the ability to transfer this out. IRA distributions can incur tax penalties, and they are highly taxed upon death or withdrawal. So it's going to be current income tax. And that's another surprise for people. What we actually have to pay the tax on this now when we're taking out? Yes, at your tax rate. So if you're an inheritor of these accounts, you have to pay the tax adding on to your current income, unless it's a Roth IRA. That's why we talk so much about the Roth situation. IRAs are subject to double tax at death, estate and income tax, plus state versions of those taxes. So that tax could, in essence, if your estate is subject to estate tax, the amount of total tax could be in the range of 60% to 70%, because the estate tax generally kicks in at, I believe it's at 45%. So all of a sudden,
the estate tax, when that comes into play, that's a pretty high limit, though. A lot of people won't be subject to that. Is that correct?
That is correct. Very, very seldom will your estate be subject to tax, but that amount is due to come down as well, the amount that can pass outside of the estate tax. Now, what's interesting is 2025 is also the time at which the current tax brackets expire, and we go back to the previous brackets. So those are due to come up. If no changes are made to that law, which we'll see, you know, 2025 used to be a long time or long in the distance, not so much anymore.
Yeah.
IRAs receive no step up in basis. What does that mean? If you pass a stock or a piece of property, piece of real estate onto children, they don't have to pay the difference between what you paid and what it's currently valued at. They get that step up in basis. For instance, let's say you paid $100,000 for a property. It's on the lake. Well, today it's worth $1 million, for instance. Well, when you pass that on to your heirs, generally they're going to receive that step up, which means they don't pay any tax beyond the sale their gain now is subject to anything over a million, not 100,000. Oh. So that's that huge difference. In an IRA, there is no basis, period. The basis is zero on an IRA. So because of that, all of it is taxable in an IRA as you withdraw those funds. IRA investment gains are taxed as ordinary income, not at capital gains tax rates. That simply means that when you draw it out, it's fully income taxable, added into your current tax bracket. And then they cannot be gifted or transferred during lifetime. Well, what do you mean I can't gift an IRA? Well, you can take it out and pay the tax and then gift the proceeds, but you can't transfer it direct during your lifetime unless you're giving it direct to a charity, you're over the age of 70 and a half. At that point, then, you can gift it direct to charity up to how much per year?
$100,000.
Per year.
Per year.
A pretty good darn number. Absolutely. Exception, a court order ordered transfer that is part of a divorce agreement as well. So the divorce agreement allows you to transfer it without tax. The properly written divorce decree can allow you to transfer those IRAs between spouses without tax. But you have to make certain that you are, that you have the proper divorce decree in order to accomplish that. And then the other part of this is you have to be able to have a properly written quadro, qualified domestic relations order agreement for a 401k or qualified plan. So there is a lot of minefields within this whole planning realm as it relates to these IRAs. Well, because of all the huge tax benefits that occurs for setting these up and growing them over time, you can see that there could wind up being a significant tax, not only for spouses, but also for children. That's why you want to continue to breathe life and energy into the planning, trying to get these figured out. Because all of a sudden, you could have a giant liability sitting out there. Well, my IRA is $500,000. It's a million. It's $2 million. How could that be a giant liability? Because of the tax. The full account value is not what's actually there. It's the account value less the tax cost. So the tax cost on something like that can easily be 25% to 35%. So keep that in mind. Now, just for review, 25% of $1 million is $250,000. 35%, we got it, $350,000. So all of a sudden, well, you know, how would that ever be the case? Because it's added on to your other incomes to determine the actual amount of the tax.
Can you, at a certain point when you've had an IRA for a long time and it's up there, can you transfer it? Is it expensive to convert it to a Roth?
It's at your current bracket. So given how low, relatively low these brackets are, this could be a better time than you imagine, especially with the markets being down at this point. Well, I've got this great mutual fund. I've owned this thing for 25 years. Talk about a great time to consider at least the conversion. Because that fund, if it's down in value, which most are these days, if it's down in value now, you convert it at today's lower prices, and in essence, you're going to pay less tax on the conversion.
And even if that's a very large amount that you're converting and you get up to the maximum current tax bracket of approximately 40%, it's still quite the discount from what we were seeing in the 70s and 80s when the highest tax brackets were
75%.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, that's interesting. As you mentioned that, Ed was talking about that at the very end of the class, the last day. In fact, Nathan had already gone home, but that was on Saturday. And he had a gentleman ask him, and this was the end of Saturday, I'm pretty sure. Yes, indeed. Okay. Yeah. Gentleman in the back said, now, Ed, you're always talking about the value of a Roth conversion. What about somebody who's in the very highest tax bracket? And Ed got down off the podium. He just, man, he was as enthusiastic as I've seen him. What a great way to end the class. He said, listen, almost certainly tax brackets are going up. We know that they basically have only one way to go. He said, I don't care where the tax bracket is now. If you can pay that current tax due, Roth conversions today are a fantastic value, and I would encourage everyone to fully consider, pay the full amount of the tax, get that converted to the Roth, is what he said.
Wow.
In a synopsis format.
Well, the nice thing in the current environment, too, is if you're doing a Roth conversion right now when the market is lower, when the market eventually comes up, as it has done in the past, that gain that you're making then is in that tax-exempt account, so that isn't taxed. So it makes financial sense in that.
Yes, it does. And isn't it interesting, the amount of noise we're getting while the Dow Jones is down right now about 13% this year.
For the year, yeah.
Yeah, it's up about 476 here this morning. That's this morning.
Yeah.
May 26th, right? But this year, it's down about 13%. NASDAQ, small companies, growth companies, if you will, down in the 22 to 25% range. So huge declines. Just at the time when you're experiencing, if you will, generally, these emotions from the market's roller coaster. Dennis, you're talking to me about paying more tax at this point. You see where that can be a disconnect in some regards. Generally, these decisions that can be wind up being the most difficult right now could be some of your better decisions you make.
So who, with all that, who should not consider converting to from an IRA to a Roth?
Generally, three best things to remember when converting. If you don't have the money outside of the IRA to pay the tax, number one. Number two, you're sure you don't have 8 to 10 years to leave that money in there. And or you're not passing it on to the children. It's going to charity. If that money's going to charity, that would be a real reason to possibly not do the Roth conversion, depending on the life expectancy of you and your wife, if that's the case, okay? Number three, if you think your tax brackets are going to remain the same or be higher in future. So those are the big three. Money set aside to pay the tax. Number two, 8 to 10 years. Three, do you anticipate your tax bracket will be the same or higher in future? So, Nathan, you've been with Prout for 8 years, nine.
December of 2014, full-time.
So it's great to have you here. Got his degree last year in finance.
Yeah, from Davenport University.
Yes, you bet. Business school, you bet.
You act like you don't know each other.
Well, I was trying to remember.
I wasn't sure what he was going for next.
Whether it was a finance and accounting or just finance.
Just finance.
Just finance. Okay, cool.
Just finance. Finance is great. Go finance major.
Right. Now, before we begin here, I told the staff the story about the bear last night. Hunter telling it.
Well, first you should tell them there's this saga. The saga we've been hearing at the office is Dennis versus the bear. So this is the next installment in Dennis versus the bear.
We live out in Williamsburg, and we got the biggest bear. How do I know it's the biggest bear? Because I've seen pictures. The neighbor, Brad, I'll just use his first name, has actually gotten pictures of this thing, and it's stinking black bear. It's so big. How big is it? It's got a hump on the back of its neck. And Jim, Shay's father, has measured it.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. They live next door to Dennis and Jill. So a couple weeks ago, in the middle of the night, my mom heard her bird feeder hit the window and it woke her up. And they ran to see, and the bear was right up against the window. And then this is like 2 a.m. And then it went to the back door. And looked at my dad like, you got anything else?
Wow. Hey man, what's
and up? Then it went around to the front and toured the front porch.
Jeez.
And looked through the windows there, still asking for a treat. And so Dennis.
My own
what
scars.
Happened last
so
night, Dennis?
Last night it was raining cats and dogs, basically. And we got the windows just cracked a little bit. And it was about 1 a.m. Well, I heard that what I thought was the garbage can being knocked around in the back. Well, some backstory. This dude has cleared this thing out four different times, and unfortunately, he takes it on through the woods, and I really don't like cleaning up after him. He wants to see the woods all littered up. So I've got four bungee cords, my own formula, on the top of the garbage can, as well as two giant cement blocks to try to keep him away. Yeah. Well, dang, Governor, I got so mad at thinking, you know, it's raining. How the timing is the worst ever. And here he is trying to knock that top off that stupid garbage can. Unfortunately, it's got a lot of garbage in it, too. That's the other thing. It's like, oh, my gosh, it's going to be a total mess if he gets into that. So first time I hear that sound, I'm going to go back. Second time, I couldn't stand it, so I jump out of bed. And by the way, Jill doesn't know any of this went on. She has no idea. Why didn't you tell her? Well, you know, it's going past each other in the morning and haven't even gotten a chance yet. So anyway, I go out there and shoot, I don't have my flashlight. And it's on the west side of the house, so it's as black as pitch out there. You just can't see. So I run back in the house, get the stupid flashlight. On my shoes on, raincoat, you know, the whole thing. And I thought about this. I thought, you know, should I have...
What was the plan? I want to know
what the plan was. What was the plan?
Should I have the gun?
Was there
my
a plan?
Dad should
was,
I get the gun?
Listen, my dad was terrified, and he was inside the house. It's, so I don't really know what your plan
really,
was.
It's very interesting with the adrenaline level. It just goes, shoots through the roof. So... No, I don't want to take the time to get the stupid gun out and put a shell in it, you know, and do all that baloney. So it's just so dumb. It's embarrassing. Why did I tell this story? Anyway, there's an axe at the corner of the garage, so I pick up the axe.
This is pure Michigan.
Lumberjack.
Oh, pure Michigan. Michigan. I'm thinking, he's just going to take the axe from me and say, thank you very much. So
yes.
I peer around the corner. And there's the corner of the garage, you know, the wood stacked up there. And I take the stupid flashlight with my left hand and reach it way up there so I can see the garbage can, and there's nothing. He's not anywhere around.
Yeah, he's in the woods watching.
Yeah, no kidding.
I promise we put a lot more thought into retirement planning than bear fighting.
We have a bear for the first time ever in 20-some years. A huge bear was in our backyard.
Really?
Yeah, I wonder if it's the same guy.
It probably
Maybe.
Is.
I mean, Maybe.
Yeah, giant.
Just makes all the rounds.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Now, Shay, Jim is really good with measurements and that sort of thing. You said that he told you it was 7 feet long at least.
Yeah, it's a very large bear. And they had caught it on a trail cam once. A couple people in the neighborhood have.
Exactly.
But
trail cam stuff.
Kind of scary.
This could be Dennis's new theme song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, and I'm going to get all kinds of advice. Dennis, you know, forget the axe. You're right. That was really dumb. Get a gun there, partner. You're going to head outside. All right. Bad city, bad city. So let's do the Shay stats, and then we'll head into the rest of
I was
going to
say, can we play the Jim Gaffigan whole sketch on the bear? It's if people have seen it, they know exactly what it is. But all right, we're going to do a little Shay stats here. Are you ready for that? This one, Dennis, is pretty detailed, and you will need to weigh in, and Heidi and Nathan. Okay. Wow, it's weird. We have three money people in with us today. Mm-hmm. So by all means, give your opinions. The yield on the 10-year T-note has increased 1.29% from December 31st of 2021 at 1.5% to Friday's close on May 20th of 2022 to 2.79%. The yield on the 10-year T-note has increased at least 1.29 percentage points over the course of 8 calendar years in the last 50 years, most recently in 2009, and that's from the Treasury Department.
Huge increase in interest rates, and the interest rate was being held to such a low period for so long that it's almost a shock, but there it is. It's knocking at the door of 2.8 or so to about 3% at this point, and most likely due to go higher. Great indicator of where interest rates are and where they're headed.
All right. Productivity in the U.S. worker declined 7.5% in the first quarter of 2022, quarter-over-quarter change expressed as an annualized result, the largest quarterly decline since the third quarter of 1947. The tumble was blamed on continued supply chain problems and the rising cost of labor, and that's from the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Now, you're also quoting some interesting information that you'd read about that, Shay, too.
Yeah, I went to the TC Connect lunch and learn yesterday with, they had Custer Furniture and Anavon Technologies talking about the change in the work and how when people were surveyed at the beginning of 2020 to now, I'm going to get the stats from them because I was writing as fast as I could. That initially when the pandemic started, we went into almost like a hyper work mode because it was everybody was very stressed out and trying to work was distracting and we were trying to get ahead of what this could be. But now we're seeing the, you know, the fallout, the burnout of that. And it's kind of like when you get in an accident and you're running on adrenaline for a couple of days from the accident and then you just kind of crash. Your body can't do it anymore. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And in the beginning, people really wanted to work from home. They enjoyed the break. They thought it, you know, save money on gas and childcare and all this. But now they're finding people want to come home or come to work at least a couple days a week and have like a hybrid situation. And when they come to work, they want to have a desk to sit at. They want a space, not just a floating space. So tons of great stats yesterday, and I'll pull them up. I can try to find them in my notes here before we...
So people want consistency.
And connection.
Safety and connection. Mm-hmm. That's what we saw so much of that Ed Slot conference. I just couldn't believe it. Everyone was wanting to engage, you know, and talk. It was really fun.
It is fun. It is really fun to be doing that again. Speaking of which, if you want to connect in the airways, airfares increased by 18.6% in April of 2022 on a month-over-month basis and were up 33.3% on a year-over-year basis. The former represents the largest one-month airfare inflation advance in U.S. history, and the latter is the highest annual airfare inflation increase reported since 1980, and that's from the Department of Labor.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's definitely noticeable when you go out to look at taking your trip. You're like, wow, I looked this up last month, and it was a lot less. So it is a little bit
fuel.
Of a shock. Yep.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily even make sense. My boyfriend flew his dad to England to visit family, and it was less expensive to go to England last month than to go to New Mexico. So none of it is really, it's not really adding up is what I'm saying. Inflation using the Consumer Price Index, the CPI, as the measurement was up 9% in 1978, up 13.3% in 1979, up 12.5% in 1980 and up 8.9% in 1981. Over the last 12 months, it's at 8.3%, and that's from the Department of Labor.
So near at the all-time highs in terms of actual inflation is this number, and obviously it's happened before, but these numbers, eye-catching for sure.
So after those numbers, though, we went into the 80s, the Reagan years. I mean, was pretty the boom 80s, right, after that?
Isn't that interesting? Because Paul Volcker was the Fed chairman at that point, raised rates. I think the Fed discount rate went to 18% or some derivation near that. It was really high.
That's pretty high.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. Yep.
The median sales price of existing homes sold nationwide in April 2022 was $391,200, the highest level recorded in U.S. history both on a nominal basis and on an inflation-adjusted basis. $391,200 is up 47% from the $266,300 median sales price in January of 2020.
Well, that was a long time ago, Shay. I mean,
my goodness.
That's like 2.5 years. Isn't that radical? 47%.
Well, yeah,
that's amazing.
We can say that's about a 20% year-over-year increase.
And up,
per year, yeah.
And it continues to say, and up 125% from the $173,700 median sales price in April of 2012, or 10 years ago. And that's from the National Association of Realtors.
Obviously, on a simple rate, that's about 12.5% a year. Incredible.
Did you guys read the ticker about Airbnbs here? And
It was yesterday.
You need to read it. It's really interesting.
Okay.
The homeowner vacancy rate, the proportion of the homeowner inventory that is vacant and available for sale, was 0.8% at the end of the first quarter 2022, the lowest percentage lowest percentage recorded for a statistic tracked for the last 66 years, and that's from the Census Bureau.
And yeah. That's eye-catching.
It is.
66-year low housing supply. Hmm. It's no wonder
prices
there are, is no inventory, and prices continue to be supported at the level that they are. Hmm. Amazing.
One more house one right here. The average down payment percentage for the first time U.S. home buyers in 2021 was 9.2%, and that's from CoreLogic. And then, Ron, you requested this one to be read.
The sports one is always the
best one. The sports one. Yeah. You love the sports one. Since July 2021, the NCAA student athletes have been permitted to profit from their name, image, and likeness. The University of Miami booster, John, is it Ruiz?
Ruiz, yeah.
Okay. Legally offered transfer basketball player. Oh, you guys, I don't.
Nigel.
Not, thank you. Nigel Pack. Nigel. Nil deal worth $800,000 over 2 years, plus a car. Ruiz was not allowed to communicate with Pack for recruiting purposes, but was allowed to inform the recruit that he/she might be able to earn in Miami, and that's from CBS.
So you have a lot of alumni put money together in these new little co-ops or whatever, and then they tell the recruits, hey, we've got these guys that'll buy a bunch of your t-shirts, or they'll buy a bunch of your cleats or whatever, pictures, autograph photos. So they're actually getting paid. Some of the high recruits now are essentially getting paid.
Wow.
Big bucks in yes. some cases.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner, Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Shea Pataja, and I put the fin in financial. No, really, I'm Finnish. And it's pronounced sauna, not sauna.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
Prout Financial Design is in the house with New Retirement Radio. Dennis Prout, Heidi Thompson, Shea Pataja, and Nathan Prout, Heidi Cartwright, I should say, are all here to answer your questions and talk more about IRA. Should we get a few text questions?
You bet. Let's do that.
We had one in regarding the IRA talk earlier. An educated guess, is it better to convert the Roth now today, convert from an IRA to Roth, or expect the Dow to continue to go down for the rest of the year?
Well, obviously, we don't know which way the stock market's going to go. I can tell you that the value-oriented buyers, if you will, in market stocks are starting to buy now. I won't go into the names, but they tend to be much larger companies with strong balance sheets, you know, all that sort of thing, that are trading at a discount now of about 25 to 30% or so from their high. So they're starting with their shopping list, and they're saying, all right, we're going to buy XYZ, ABC, and all these different companies, strong companies, at these significant discounts because they've come down so much. So there's one indicator. Second, it's going to partly depend on what's going to happen in the fall with the election, where that goes. Do we get a more conservative attitude toward spending in regards to the federal government, amongst other things, which our listening audience is very aware of. Given those realities, I would say, obviously, we can't ever guess or bet on the low, but it appears as though it's bottoming. I would say maybe you dollar cost average for your Roth conversions. If you're intending to do, for instance, 50,000, you might do 2, 3, up to 5 conversions throughout this summer here as a Roth conversion so that you could take advantage of different prices in the stock market. If indeed that's what you own in your IRA. Part of it depends on what you own in your regular IRA. If it's cash, then that makes the decision that much easier. If it's a good mutual fund, for instance, that you've owned through the year, which we used earlier, then you may want to convert it over some time, okay, to take advantage of these lower prices.
Another question on the text line. I just inherited a Roth IRA from my brother. Do I have to withdraw it over 5 years or 10? I am 73 years old.
Well,
10?
So there are five classes of eligible designated beneficiaries, which are not. So he is a... Are you an individual? Oh, he's not more than... not more than 10 years younger than the IRA owner.
So he might be able to stretch it in that case.
That's correct.
So assuming he is an eligible designated beneficiary with no more than 10 years of difference from his deceased brother, you could take it over that 10-year period. Yeah.
If he's like 2 years older than his brother, it's 5 years he'd have to withdraw it in?
It's actually only 10 years younger, so he could be could be older to any extent. But
All right. So eligible designated beneficiaries, I'd missed that. That's point number five. So great point. He could take it over 10 years.
He could stretch it.
He could
stretch it over his lifetime, because if you're an eligible designated beneficiary, then you can do the stretch, whereas where you, depending on the age, you can take it out throughout the length of the IRA. If you're not an eligible designated beneficiary, then you get into that 10-year time frame where all the money has to be out by
Where the 10-year rule comes in. I dove into this a bit too quickly. So you don't have to take it out over five. We can answer that for sure. You have at least 10 years and perhaps your life expectancy even longer. So given those questions and answers, we can supply you, sir, if you want to contact our office, we can give you copies of our material we're looking at right now. So you can actually review this.
But Dennis, there is a five-year rule. If there's no
if he's a non-designated beneficiary, then the five-year rule applies. But assuming here that he is a designated beneficiary.
There's also a ghost life rule as well. Leave it to the IRS to have a life expectancy for somebody who's deceased.
Right. Yeah. So you can see that it can get so complex based on all these different rules and how you qualify for these different things that it's... The best thing is to go and talk to someone before you make a movement and before you take that money and start transferring it around, just to make sure you know what's expected of you so you can stay out of penalty area.
Yeah, you see why this gets complex.
Yeah, Ed's first rule, if you're a non-spouse inheritor, is to touch nothing until you know what you're doing.
Right. So in essence, it takes a conversation. We actually need to sit with someone, as Heidi mentioned. That'll make a significant difference, because then we can know, were you the designated beneficiary on the forms, which we're assuming because he's saying he's the inheritor of this account. All right. Were there any other questions, Ron?
Well, this one says the best savings rate right now might be with the IRS. They're now paying 5% on delayed refunds of overpayments. Filing on paper pretty much means IRS will be late paying overpayment refunds due to taxpayers. So they're saying, what, file on paper, they'll be too slow and they'll have to pay you 5% interest if you overpay.
I don't know if I'd rely on that as a strategy, though.
It's technically a strategy.
I think I'd find something else.
You bet. Wow. Now, Heidi, setting up non-spouse beneficiary IRAs, what does that look like? And what are the issues, the common mistakes people can make regarding setting those up?
Yeah, so... one of the things that we reviewed in our class was some common mistakes in setting up inherited IRAs. So who we're going to talk about are people who are not a spouse. Spouses are their own category, and they have a lot more choices and rules that are just specific to spouses. So we're talking about everyone else. All right. So the titling of an inherited IRA is very important. You want it to be titled correctly so it will be eligible for the rules for an inherited IRA. And so that means that you need to have the name of the person who passed away or the original account holder. So I'll just give you an example. A properly titled inherited IRA would be something like John Smith IRA, deceased on November 27th of 2021 for the benefit of John Smith Jr. beneficiary. So you have the name of the current account holder in there and the person who originally owned the account. So those are sort of important. And then another thing to point out with inherited IRAs, they cannot do a 60-day rollover. They cannot move money from the IRA and take a check and then take that check and put it in a beneficiary IRA. That is not allowed. The only way to move money with an inherited IRA is a trustee-to-trustee transfer. So to keep yourself out of tax trouble, because if you take it out and then you put it back in yourself, that would open it up for the whole distribution to be taxable. So something to avoid, definitely. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. All right.
All right.
Is that the end of it, Heidi?
Well, we can move on into IRA beneficiary. No,
we've got about 1 minute before, so I don't know if you want to start a new thing yet. No, no, okay.
That can be wait for another day.
Yep. Wow, here we go.
So if you want more information, go to www.proutfinancialdesign.com or go to our Facebook or our LinkedIn, or you can go on iTunes where New Retirement Radio is there as a podcast. Thank you, Jana, for editing.
All right. ProutFinancialDesign.com. Dennis Prout, Nathan Prout today. Welcome aboard. Come back.
All righty.
Heidi Cartwright. Thank you, Heidi.
Hey, Ron. Thank you.
Shay Pataja.
Have a great day.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at ProutFinancialDesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, FinancialDesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.